If you take your Bibles and open up to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. We've been going chapter by chapter, verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. And wow, what a journey it has been. And here we are in chapter 5. And today we're going to see that Paul is going to continue his discussion on walking with God. In chapter 4, verse 1, he tells us to walk worthy of your calling. And here in chapter 5, he is going to say, hey, he is going to come back and he's going to explain what does it mean to walk worthy. All right? And there's three things he's going to tell us about walking worthy. His first is in verse 2, it says, walk in love. All right? This is how we walk worthy of the name of Jesus Christ. This is how we walk worthy of our calling. And down in verse 8, it says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Yeah, walk in the light. He says, walk in love, walk in the light. And then if you go to verse 15... All right. See then, as you walk circumspectly, that's being able to discern between good and what is wrong, what is evil, and choosing to do what is right. All right. You walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk in wisdom. All right. Three things. And I'd like to talk to you today about in our walk with God. And beginning with chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. And it's talking about our character, because there are some things God can do that I cannot do. You know, if I was to imitate God, I cannot be a creator. I do not create things. I create messes, maybe, if that's what I can do, you know. But he sustains life. I can't do that. When Jesus was here on earth, he could heal people. I cannot do that. When Jesus was here on earth, he fed the multitudes. I can't do that. Yeah, when Jesus was here on earth, he calmed the storm. I cannot do that, okay? Yeah, and when he was here on earth, he could raise the dead. I can't do that. And he's not telling me that I should be the one doing those things. All right. When he's talking about being an imitator of Jesus Christ, yeah, Jesus Christ loved people. All right. Yeah, he took time. He listened to people. He talked to people. He blessed people. He helped people. This is what it means to be an imitator of Jesus Christ. This is what it means to be an imitator of God. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. Isn't that interesting that he tells us to walk in love? Jesus said, this is how people will know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. Yeah, to walk in love. Yeah, and it says, for God so loved the world. And the love begins with God. Yeah. God loved the world. And if I want to love others, it begins with me sitting at the feet of Jesus and saying to Jesus, Jesus, I can't love like you can, but you can help me to love others. You can fill my heart with your love so that I can love others. Yeah, that's where it begins. It says, and walk in love as Christ loved us and given himself for us. Yeah, look at that. And with the word love is the word give. For God so loved the world, he gave. Yeah, love is generous and it's willing to give and give and give. That's the best definition of a Christian. They give and they forgive. All right? And it says, as Christ also loved us and given himself for us as an offering and as a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Now, It's a self-sacrificing love. Jesus gave his life for us. Yeah. And my love is self-centered, but God is willing to come into my heart and remove that selfishness out of my life. And so it becomes a self-sacrificing. Now, look, he takes an illustration from the sanctuary. Yeah, a person would make a sacrifice on the altar. They would confess their sins, and they would confess their faith that that animal pointed forward to the day when the Messiah would come, when Jesus would come, and he would be the Lamb of God, and he would die for our sins. And he would take the blood of that sacrifice. Even though he sacrificed the lamb on the altar, he had to take the blood into the holy place. And he would stop on the way where there was the laver. And he would wash his hands and his feet, all right? Because he could not go into the presence of God. He had to be clean. And as he cleansed himself, he would look at the sides of the laver, because it was reflected him, and he could see and make sure that he looked right going into the presence of God. And as he went into the presence, hey, there was the table of showbread on the one side. Hey, there was the candelabra that lit up the sanctuary, the seven branch candlestick. It lit up the sanctuary, and then he would go to the altar of incense. If he was to burn the blood by itself, it would smell terrible. But he would add incense, and that incense would burn and go up over the curtain and into the presence of God. And it became a sweet-smelling savor. Why? Because it was a representation of that person's faith in Jesus Christ, that Jesus would forgive them, that Jesus would cleanse them and remove sin out of their heart and out of their lives. They were coming to God in obedience to God's word, and this pleased God. It was a sweet-smelling savor unto God, and he says, this is what I want your life to be like. When we surrender to God, when we give our hearts to him, it becomes a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. This is what God wants from you and me today. And notice, in verse 3, he tells us what love is not like. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Yeah, there are things that love will not do, but the main thing that love will do is give thanks. Give thanks to God. Give thanks to him in any and all situations. To give thanks during the good times and even during the hard times, because you know that God is still in charge. God is still watching over you. God is still with you. I read a story. It's not quite a true story, all right? It is a parable. A person wrote about a piece of iron, all right? Yeah, this piece of iron, all right, it was pretty proud about itself. And he said to the other tools that were around him, he said, hey, you can't do anything to me. And so the sledgehammer beat upon him, didn't do anything to the iron, all right? The axe, yeah, the axe came down upon him, didn't do anything to him. There were some saws there, and the saws tried to saw on him, didn't do anything to him. But it was the fire, all right? When they put him through the fire, yeah, the fire wrapped around him. And after a while, that iron piece started to melt. All right? And what the fire did was not only did he melt the iron, the hardness of the iron, all right, but he also purified it. He refined it. And that's what love does. That's what God's love does to each one of us. And he wants to come into our hearts, not only to cleanse us and to refine us and to know and have assurance that he loves us and that we can love him back, but he wants us to have that kind of love to those around us. Yeah, Paul tells us to walk in love. Yeah, and he tells us not only to walk in love today, but he would tell us to walk in the light. Let's take a look at it. I'm here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once in darkness. Yeah, without Christ, we are in darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. And I want you to notice verse 9. Yeah, verse 9, it tells us that the fruit of the Spirit, all right, yeah, this is how we experience, this is how we become light. Yeah, we receive the Holy Spirit. We're so surrendered to God that his Spirit comes into our hearts. And it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Yeah, and through Jesus Christ, we experience the Holy Spirit. And our life is changed. Our character is changed. We develop a character like Jesus Christ. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus says he is the light of the world. It's an interesting context in which he says this. If you remember, there was a woman who was caught in adultery, and she is brought before Jesus, thrown down at his feet. And they brought her to Jesus to test Jesus. Yeah, if Jesus was to say, hey, this woman is guilty and you should stone her, they would run to the Romans. Yeah, they would run to the Romans and say, hey, Jesus says to put this woman to death. He has no right to do that. If Jesus would have said, hey, leave this woman alone, and have nothing to do with her, and they would have said they would have ran to the Jewish authorities and said that, yeah, he's doing away with the law of God. Yeah, and so they were trying to set Jesus up. They didn't care about the woman. They didn't care about the woman because they didn't bring the man. And they brought this woman before Jesus, and they stood and says, hey, what do you think we should do? Yeah, and Jesus starts to write in the dirt. He bends over and he writes in the dirt. I believe he was writing down their sins. Yeah. He writes his law on the stone. He writes our sins in the sand. And he writes in the sand their sins, and they begin to leave. One by one. Jesus says, he is without sin. Let him cast the first stone. Yeah, that poor woman probably thought, oh, the stones are coming now. But none came. None came. Hey, Jesus could have thrown a stone. Yeah, he was without sin, but he doesn't do that. He's showing us, yeah, that he knows the heart. He knew the heart of this woman. And he's revealing to us the heart of God. God doesn't want to cast stones at us. He wants to forgive us. He wants to save us. He wants to give us a new life. Yeah, that's what light does. Light reveals the darkness. It brings an end to darkness. That's what Jesus came to do. Yeah, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. We don't need to do his work. We don't need to point fingers at one another. He says, be a light, love one another. Yeah, this is what he calls us to do. Yeah, for the fruit of the Spirit is goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. That is what God wants us to do. That is what he wants us to become. Just as the sanctuary was lit up by the candelabra, the seven-branch candlestick, okay? Yeah, he calls us to be a light to the world around us. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about our works. He says, let your light shine. All right, you are the light of the world, he says, and you let your light shine by the good works that you do. You don't do these good works to be saved. No. You are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and he becomes your work. All right? And he is working in you, and you, yeah, are surrendering your life to him, and he changes us and transforms us, and the things that we normally want to, we now do, all right? Yeah, through the God Spirit, through his grace, through his help, we are changed and transformed. Dave Simpson, yeah, he's a pastor, and he went on vacation to Germany. He had friends and family over in Germany, and there's a forest there. They decided to go camping, and they decided to go to the Black Forest. And he realized why they call it the Black Forest, because at night, it gets so dark in the forest, you can't see anything. Because of the trees, you look up, and you can't see the stars, all right? Yeah. And here he was. It was the sun was just about ready to set, and he needed, yeah, to go back to the car to get another tent. So he raced back as fast as he could, grabbed the tent. Sun was almost down, and halfway back, yeah, the sun went down. All right, he couldn't see. He could wave his hand in front of his face. He couldn't see. That's how dark it was. The Black Forest. Yeah, life without Christ is like a black forest. And so he had his phone with him, and he reached in his pocket, and he didn't have much battery power left. So he turned the flashlight on, and he went a little bit further until the battery died. And there he was in the darkness, and he just prayed. He said, Lord, I guess I'm going to set up the tent right here and sleep here tonight. And he looked all around, and in the distance, he could see just a little tiny dot of light. He says, well, that has to be somewhere. That light has coming from somewhere. And he says, I'm going to walk towards that light. So he carried his tent to where that light was. And as he got closer to the light, it started to get bigger. All right? And he just kept heading towards the light. And it took him back to the campsite. All right? Took him back to where his family and friends were. They had put a lantern on a tree, hoping that he would see it and it would guide him home. Yeah, and that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be a light in this world. Yeah, and he wants us not only to experience his Holy Spirit, but he wants us to be a light that will lead other people safely home. Yeah, he tells us today, walk in love. Walk in the light. Yeah, and today he calls us to walk in wisdom. Take a look at this. I'm down in verse 15. He says, you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Yeah. He's calling us to be careful with our time. I find it interesting that he says to walk in wisdom here. If you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. All right, right now near the end of the chapter, it says, Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, but of him, you are in Christ Jesus, okay? You're in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom. Walk in Christ. Yeah, have Christ in your heart. Let him live and reign in your heart today and every day. But of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. And not just wisdom, but look at this. And righteousness and sanctification and redemption. If you have Christ, you have everything you need. All right? And Christ is going to help us walk in wisdom. Yeah. He's going to help us, yeah, to make the right choices. He's going to lead us and guide us. Take a look at this. I'm here in Ephesians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And what is the will of God? You know, in the Lord's Prayer, we pray that prayer. Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a surrendering of ourselves. You know, we are willing to do God's will, whatever it is. We are willing to go wherever he wants us to go. We are willing to do whatever he wants us to do. This is what he's calling us to understand the will of God, and to be willing to do whatever it is. And do not be drunk with wine and dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Yeah, there's the Holy Spirit again. He talked about the fruit of the Spirit earlier. And now he's saying, be filled with the Spirit. Yeah, this is God's will for our lives. We need to seek the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He wants us to ask for it. He wants us, yeah, to be filled with the Spirit. He wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit. He wants us to have the gifts of the Spirit. Yeah, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is how he wants us to live our lives. Yeah, giving thanks. Yeah, this is the second time it says to give thanks. Giving thanks is important. Always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. This is what God is pleading with us, calling us to do. To walk worthy. To walk in love. To walk in light. To walk in wisdom. Many years ago, I read about the life of Henry Ford. And Henry Ford, when he was building his factories, he hired a man by the name of Charlie Steinmetz. Yeah, he was to build generators for him so that he could make his cars. And after he had his factory all set up and they were making cars in mass production, one day, the generator stopped. Now, Ford had a repairman, and this repairman could not fix the generators. And so he called Charlie, his friend, and Charlie came out, and within an hour, he got the generators walking once again. Now, he got the generators working, And they started making cars, and he sent Ford the bill. It was a $10,000 bill. Ford called him up. He wasn't too happy with the bill. He said, hey, you worked for about an hour. He said, hey, you're charging me $10,000? He said, yeah. He said, $10 for tinkering, and then $9,990 to know where to tinker. Now, today I'm not talking about cars. Today I'm talking about God. God knows where to work in our lives. He knows how to make us whole. He knows how to heal us. He knows what is best for each one of us. And he's trying to show us the way to happiness. It's to walk in his love. It's sitting at his feet, getting to know him, to experience his presence and power in our lives, to be a light, to experience the Holy Spirit in our lives. Yeah, and to follow where the Spirit leads us and guides us and to do whatever the Spirit calls us to do. And it's to walk in wisdom. Yeah, this is what God calls us to do today and every day. May we experience God's presence and power in our lives to love, to be the light of the world, and to be his wisdom. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and mercy and grace. Thank you for your words of hope and encouragement. And Lord, that you just didn't write these words through the Apostle Paul to us. You, through the power of your Holy Spirit and by the power of your grace, you can make them part of our lives today. And so, Lord, we give you our hearts. Fill us with your love. Help us to be the light. Help us to walk in the light. Help us to walk in your wisdom. Fill us and bless us and save us in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.